Chapter 2. No Shortage of Solutions, A Crisis of Thinking. Nobel Prize-winning physicist Niels Bohr once said, quote, "Every great and deep difficulty bears in itself its own solution. It forces us to change our thinking in order to find it." End of quote. It's been said that we humans are creatures of habit. Maybe Warren Buffett, paraphrasing 18th-century writer Samuel Johnson, summed it up best when he said, quote, "The chains of habit are too light to be felt until they're too heavy to be broken," end of quote. If we're honest with ourselves, these words are probably just as true today as when Johnson spoke a variation of them over 200 years ago. We are creatures of habit, and it's for this very reason that change of any kind can be hard for us. It's often easier to hang on to the familiar ways of the past, even when those comfortable habits are no longer good for us, than to face the uncertainties that the new can bring into our lives. Peter Drucker, whose writing has contributed to the model for modern business, says, quote, "Everybody has accepted by now that change is unavoidable, but this still implies that change is like death and taxes. It should be postponed as long as possible, and no change would be vastly preferable. But in a period of upheaval, such as the one we're living in, change is the norm," end of quote. Well, my grandfather would have agreed. Before he died at the age of 96, Grandpa would talk to me for hours about the world and the way it was in his time. He was born in Eastern Europe at the beginning of the last century, and as I touched upon in my previous book, Deep Truth, he always began his stories by telling me how different the world of his day was from our world today. While I knew that what he was saying was certainly true, each time I listened to him share his memories, I understood even more just what he meant. My grandfather would tell me of a world that I could only imagine, one where horse-drawn wagons still had the right of way when they encountered the newly invented automobiles on the road, where many homes still had no electricity and telephones were rare. It was a world with no network of superhighways, allowing people to travel at super speeds and indoor toilets were a luxury. Grandpa always said that the world stopped making sense to him just after World War II. It was during that time that the new discoveries in science and changes in everyday life happened so quickly that he couldn't keep up with them. When the technology wave following World War II produced innovations like jet planes and pocket radios and barcode scanners and fax machines, it all looked crazy to him. And because he could no longer relate to the changes happening around him, he felt left out, like an outsider in his own world. My grandfather never caught up with modern technology. The shift that happened after World War II was the beginning of a crisis for him and one that lasted until the end of his life. Designed to change. There's a common thread that binds the world my grandfather knew following World War II and the world we live in today. Both worlds are the product of a tremendous amount of change occurring in a very brief period of time. People in both worlds had to shift the way that they think and live, and had to do so in ways that they'd never been prepared for in the past. Perhaps most importantly, neither the world that my grandfather knew nor our world today was meant to last forever. The technology of both was intended to be temporary, and it was designed to change. For example, the now unthinkably low fuel efficiency of the 1960s muscle cars, some of which got less than 10 miles per gallon, was meant to give way to the more efficient engines of today, which commonly run at 35 or 40 miles per gallon or even more. The portable 8-track tapes of the 1970s were meant to give way to the smaller cassette tapes and then to the CDs that followed them and eventually to the pure energy of the electronic zeros and ones of today's digital era. On a larger scale, the 19th century power grid of wires and cables that still connects our houses, families, and nations today was meant to be temporary. It was never intended to last into the 21st century. When inventor Nikola Tesla designed the system that allows AC power to be carried over long distances, He did so to provide the people of the world immediate access to the comforts that electricity could bring into their homes and businesses at the time. It was meant to serve them temporarily, while he perfected another system that would broadcast energy without burdensome cables and wires, in much the same way that the TV signal is broadcast today. For financial and political reasons, Tesla lost his funding, and he was never able to complete the system of wireless electricity. One of the greatest electrical geniuses of modern times, Nikola Tesla, died in 1943, and his temporary power grid remains with us today, over 100 years longer than it was intended to last. These familiar forms of technology are examples of thinking that were never meant to be the ultimate destination of timeless solutions. Rather, they were designed to be the bridges that would get us to our next steps. It's this subtle yet profound realization that has helped many people feel a little better about our world as it looks like it's turning upside down today. As we mentioned in Chapter 1, the trigger for much of the change today is that the past ways of thinking and living are no longer sustainable. It's not so much that they're wrong or bad. It's just that we have outgrown them. They no longer fit into our world. They no longer work.